Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekside Podcast. I'm Jenny Brentis here with Connor Orr on this Monday in August. It was an interesting weekend for the NFL regarding COVID testing. There was a spate of false positives that were traced to a lab in New Jersey, making for an unusual Sunday. There were practices delayed. Players who were not practicing, notably Bills quarterback Josh Allen. And it was kind of a reminder that this year there's going to be some stops and starts, different circumstances that come up. We've had false positives before, Connor, but this was the first example of there being a cluster of them traced to kind of a contamination in the testing. As the situation that happened with Matthew Stafford, which was just an isolated false positive test, certainly this will prompt a conversation, potential additional protocols added to respond if situations like this come up again. What were your thoughts?
I like how the New Jersey got called out in specific. So we got banged down here, but it's like that ominous, like it all started in a lab in New Jersey. It's like a very, ominous sort of thing right there, you know. But I mean, this is going to be the tenor of our regular season, right? We are not perfected as a country, as a global society yet. I think when it comes to testing. This virus really started attacking us, 6 months ago, 7 months ago? And if you look at the timeline of how things evolve in medicine and how long it takes to safely fight something like this, it's going to take some time. We're going to have issues like this. And I think it's better off, to just continue doing what we're doing instead of saying, these tests are not accurate and let's plow through. I mean, we at least have an obligation to the players who are playing to keep them safe, just like we have an obligation to anybody who wants to take a COVID-19 test to be able to make sure that they get fast and reliable information.
Yeah. And when you're doing the volume of tests that the NFL is doing, they're doing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of tests. There's going to be one false positives. There's also the possibility of, as we saw with this cluster of 77 false positives, of there being some kind of contamination in testing. If you've ever worked in a lab, I spent some time working in a lab in college. It's pretty easy to see how there could be contamination. Things don't always go correctly. Sometimes tubes get mixed up. Sometimes pipette needles get mixed up. So there's a lot of different ways that contamination can occur. And given the volume of testing, not just for the NFL, but around the country, it's understandable that there would be mix-ups. I guess the question is, how will the NFL potentially adjust these protocols so that if a situation like this came up again before a game day, how would teams be in a position to get answers on those players and know if they are false positives or can be traced to another inaccurate cluster, as this was. With the Stafford case, they ended up beginning to institute the point of care testing, which is essentially you get a test on site and you get the results right away. It's a rapid test. And then, so if you got a positive test, the next day you would get both the point of care test, get that result immediately, and then they would also send away the other as usual, PCR tests, and you would wait 24 hours for that to be sent away. I wondered if one option here, and the NFL's having a call at 3 p.m., so maybe there will be some updates there. One option I thought of was potentially having two point-of-care tests, maybe 12 hours apart or something. If you had two rapid tests during one day, then you the point-of-care test, it's an antigen test, the accuracy rate is lower. So if you had two of the tests, presumably you would have an increased rate of accuracy. And so I think that would be one option. I'm not sure what the NFL will do. I wonder if there is a way to get an expedited PCR test. But again, there's already such a strain on testing resources in the country and at these labs that I don't know what's possible. Those were two thoughts that came to mind, Connor, of ways that they could adjust.
I've never been in a lab, and what I'm about to say might sound incredibly stupid, right? But even the best testing is what they say 99% accurate. But if you're testing football teams with 80-man rosters and 32 of them, like, okay, 99 out of 100 are going to be right, but you know, there's a way more than 100 people at a time that we're testing here. And so, you know, I think the expectation that this is just going to solve all of our problems was sort of misguided in the first place. You know, we were always going to have these issues, even if a test was, I'm guessing most like tests, right, for flu and everything like that are probably in that 99% range. Like, that's like, nothing is foolproof, nothing is 100%, and when you're doing it at the speed, at the volume, the capacity is this, like, this is going to be a part of our entire season, and it's about how the league is choosing to react instead of just, I don't know, what this massive sort of backlash against the testing. The testing is, people are doing the best that they can here. You know, it's not like you know, they're trotting out some shoddy product. I mean, these are good labs with safety procedures and everything, and like you said, things just get mixed up sometimes.
Yeah. So this will be another preseason for the protocols, right? I mean, we're kind of seeing how things are working. This is a period of time when it's not quite the same stakes as it will be during the season when there are games to be played. So another example, I guess, in which the NFL can examine the protocols and figure out the best way to move forward. I can imagine kind of the panic that's sent through those teams. As we understand, these emails get sent out in the morning with the test results to whoever the main point of contact is for running the infectious diseases protocols. And I'm sure that there was quite an alarm in several facilities as they got those results. And I'm sure relief that there was some kind of error in this case. But
I think Kevin Stefanski said he was one of them today. We hear a lot about coaching, and it's all at once the most probably terrifying position in the building besides quarterback to get it, because you're in contact with so many people. But then once you know you have it and you have to quarantine, maybe one of the least consequential, because then if you're a coach, you can watch practice virtually, you can communicate with all of your assistants virtually, and all that. But it's just interesting to see, like, you know, what teams are doing now when, you know, somebody who's in contact with almost everybody gets a positive test.
Yeah, and we saw that on Hard Knocks last week. I mean, I think that was one of the things that the show really captured, and we might not otherwise had too much visibility into that, but Seth Ryan, Rex Ryan's son, who's a quality control coach with the Chargers, he had the false positive test, and he was talking about, like, kind of the panic that sets in. Like, did I give it to the players? Did I do something wrong? I'd only been, you know, at work and playing Call of Duty or whichever video game he mentioned. I could be getting this wrong. So I think that's, like, a pretty relatable feeling. And then kind of the relief of getting the news that it was a false positive. And that was right after the NFL had changed the protocols, introducing this point of care testing as one of the two confirmatory tests for a presumptive positive. So that was a good look, I think, into how these false positives can affect people and teams and kind of the immediate ripple effects that occur when there is one.
Rex Ryan's son, Seth, as an NFL head coach, makes me feel older.
Not
than,
head coach.
Or as an NFL kidding. Quality control coach.
If he was a head coach at this age, that would make us feel really old.
But him being in the NFL as, like, an adult coach probably makes me feel older than any of the other things. Like, we always say, oh, these players that we covered in 2010 are retired now or whatever. But for some reason, that makes me feel far older than any of the other things. I mean, because remember, Rex used to talk about his son as a high school freshman and sophomore when we were covering the Jets.
Yeah, and they had some good clips of that on Hard Knocks, kind of foreshadowing his coaching career. And Rex saying, I think he'll end up in coaching one day. And sure enough, he's in the wide receivers room as a quality control coach for the Chargers. So that was pretty interesting to see. Well, Connor, we got some mail this week.
Oh, I love mail.
Some good questions. So we're gonna get to that in a second. But anything else you want to add before we move on?
Just, you know, that I hope... I just really hope that this gets squared away, and not for the sake of the NFL or for the season, but maybe, you know, I was thinking in the back of my mind, like, if there's more pressure put on these labs, and I not necessarily that pressure is a good thing, but maybe more money, more pressure put into this, that eventually it will trickle down to, you know, the people that need it. And maybe if some of this stuff is kind of some of the things that aren't working in testing, if it can get hammered out, in a situation like the NFL where these guys get tested every day and they have the benefit of all this, then maybe hopefully at some point this will benefit the common person, you know, the layperson that needs this test. I don't know. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this some way, shape, or form, even though we both agree that it's bad that nobody has this type of access now.
I actually, a friend of a friend received a point of care test recently, just like a regular lay citizen, not an athlete. Ooh. Not a government official. So that kind of gave me some hope that maybe these rapid tests are improving in accuracy and maybe more available. I also want to say that earlier I accidentally said pipette needles, and I really meant to say pipette tips. So all of my biochemistry professors at Penn State would be ashamed of my performance here on this podcast, Connor.
I think we know that's not true. That your ability to blend high science and football is helping both industries.
Right, right. Sure. I'm sure there's maybe one person who thinks that, and I'm on the podcast with him. So, all right, let's jump into our reader mail, because we have some good ones this week that will engender a lot of good discussion. Let me see if I can pull them up, Connor. I am struggling over here. As always, you can write in to weeksidepod@gmail.com and send your questions, thoughts, etc. Okay, I've got one from James, who lives in Australia.
I think James, he might work for the Australian government, by the way.
Oh, did you kind of do some Googling his email address?
I'm just like looking at the email address. Maybe not. James, I don't want to speculate on this, but I'm just saying it's probably a very high ranking Australian government official is basically what I'm saying.
Who's listening to our podcast? Well, thank you, James. I appreciate this, that you would spend some of your time listening to the Weekside podcast. It means a lot to us. And you sent in a great question. There was also a comment about a double unintended meaning of roots in Australian vernacular. So that's something we'll have to consider, Connor, if we need to have a rebrand of our restaurant before we even opened.
Right.
But we will move on to the other part of his email, which is a great one. So basically working off of the idea that generally the average over the last couple decades is that the playoff field turns over every year. So about half of the teams who made it last year won't make it the following year. So he's asking us, if you had to pick from last year's playoff field, which are the teams that would not make it this year? Now, it's an interesting question, because we talked a little bit last week on if there would be less turnover overall and like good, bad teams this year because of the shortened off season and kind of less time for teams to improve, or maybe less of an opportunity for surprise contenders. But there's also a lot of unknown variables with this season. So who knows? So I went through, and I have to say, Connor, I had a much harder time in the AFC than the NFC. There are a lot of NFC teams last year that I could see not making the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. I could have picked more than three in the NFC. I struggled with the AFC, though. I struggled getting to three, and I don't really love all of my picks. So let's start with you. of the AFC teams, which three did you think would not make it? So last year we had the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Texans, Bills, and Titans.
So out of those teams last year, I would say that the Titans, the Bills, and the Texans would be the three teams that that would not make it back this year.
Wow, Connor, I picked the same three. No joke.
Did you really?
I have it written down. You could see on my paper.
Ooh, synergy.
Wow, that's pretty good. But the reason I didn't love my picks was because essentially by saying both the Titans and the Texans are not making it, you're leaving that to either the Jaguars or the Colts to make it. And the obvious choice between those two, because we know I'm low on the Jaguars perpetually, is the Colts. And I don't think that's a bad pick. I'm just not super high on the Colts this year. So I don't know that I love subbing out either the Titans or the Texans for the Colts. But the task was to pick three that would not make it. So I picked three that would not make it.
You know, it was interesting. I mean, in this, as everyone knows, is a Bills Forward podcast. This is a progressive Bills podcast. And while I was doing some deep research specifically on the Bills for a project that I was working on, I noticed how brutal their schedule is. Like, their schedule is awful. And, you know, I was trying to put it this way to make it somewhat digestible to Bills fans. Your most optimistic scenario is probably that you split with the Dolphins and the Patriots and you sweep the Jets. You would say that's pretty optimistic, right? For a divisional slate for the Bills.
Okay. Yeah.
And then what you have left is just a brutal, like, you know, Steelers, 49ers, Rams, like, you know, you're facing very good divisions. Your out of conference schedule is very tough. I just don't know how many places you're picking up a lot of these additional wins. So you start 4-2 and then you kind of just kind of pinball the rest of the schedule down there. And, you know, I think this team is definitely going in the right direction and is definitely an ascending team, but some years you just get crushed schedule wise. And I think this might be one of those years for the Bills in particular.
Yeah, I think that's really good reasoning for them. As for the Titans, I think we've talked about this before and we all kind of share the belief that it's hard to sustain the workload that Derrick Henry did last year. It's hard to perform that well in back-to-back seasons. I think that would be a key reason for a regression there. And with the Texans, you know, there's a lot of questions about the composition of the team, notably with the trade of DeAndre Hopkins away. So I think they're another team that I could easily see regressing this year. But yeah, again, I'm not sure that I love putting the Colts in for the AFC South over either the Titans or the Texans, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah, I mean, you're betting between Phillip Rivers and, like, Derrick Henry. Would it be tough for Ryan Tannehill to replicate his season from last year? You're looking at Next Gen Stats the other day, and they had the plus-minus completion percentage versus expected completion percentage. He led football last year with a +8, so he completed almost 10% more passes than he should have, and that was more than any other quarterback in football. You have to believe that that's going to regress to the mean a little bit. Not that that's a super lucky statistic, but Ryan Tannehill, is he that much more talented than the rest of the field that he could be doing this on a consistent basis? A lot of things went right for the Titans last year towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Speaking of lucky, who are your three teams to make the playoffs that didn't last year in the AFC?
Okay. So this is difficult because, you know, like we said, we're boxed in on Colts. Damn you, James from Brisbane. And then I guess I would have to go with the Steelers. Definitely think the Steelers are back in the playoffs. And then the team of the weak side pod, not the Bills, not Danny Dimes, but the LA Chargers, I think, are going to sneak in this year. I think they're going to have a good year.
We're really in AFC synergy. Again, Connor, written proof. I did this
before
serious? The show in Green Marker.
Wow.
I wrote IND/PIT/LAC.
Man.
Now, interestingly enough, let's see what our friend James has. James had the Patriots, the Texans, and the Titans not making it. And then the Colts, Dolphins, and Steelers rotating in.
Good on you, James. That's I don't know if I could bet against Bill Belichick like that. That's tough.
But it's a bold pick. We like the bold.
I do like
the boldness. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've discussed our feelings about the Chargers. We think you know, pro Chargers, as we've said. And yeah, you know, I'm not sure what to make of the skepticism of Ben Roethlisberger's return from the elbow surgery, but if it's as good as advertised, then they would be a strong contender.
If he is the only miraculous person to have ever recovered from surgery.
Yeah, oh, man. And, imagine the stories.
Oh, boy. But even if he's, let's say he's Peyton Manning in the second Super Bowl ineffective, like basically a one-armed man, essentially, with a I think that Steelers team is good enough if Ben Roethlisberger just doesn't make any horrible decisions as like a three-quarter-armed human being to get that team into the playoffs. Like, I think the team around him is that good this year.
Yeah. I think healthy. That's a good assessment. I agree, Connor.
He's pretty bad during those playoffs.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that recently because I was washing dishes the other day and it just came to mind that like our last view of Peyton was how he played down the stretch. And I was thinking about Brady, like how that ultimately shapes a player's legacy in the final glimpse of them is a slightly diminished form.
That's a heavy thought for dishwashing.
Yeah, it really was. I'm not really sure why it came to mind, but
you know what it could have been? Like you maybe saw like a wet paper towel, like something limp, and then that reminded you of Peyton's arm during the playoffs that year. Could have been something like that.
Yeah. Could have been something like that. Or maybe I just had some leftover avocado in a bowl and I was thinking Brady. Could have been a lot of different ways here. So
by the way, just as a quick aside, I went to a barbecue this weekend to celebrate a new baby in the Orr family, which is very exciting. One of my cousins and his is part of their post-pregnancy recovery plan, no dairy in the diet. And so they went full on avocado ice cream, and the reviews were rave for the mint chocolate chip in particular. They said you could not tell the difference. So
they made it themselves.
They bought it.
They bought it. Oh, is that brand? Okay. Okay. I've made avocado mousse or chocolate mousse with an avocado base, and that's pretty good. It's a little challenging to mix. Like you have to like the blender works on overtime. Like it wouldn't work on a Ninja where you flip it over because then the avocado doesn't go to the bottom where the blades are. But if you have a normal blender, I think it would work a little bit better. It tastes good.
I was skeptical at first. I think everybody kind of latches on to Brady for that in particular and makes fun of them. But I'm glad that, you know, some of this stuff is gaining momentum. You know, I'm a little bit lactose, so I'm in the market maybe for something.
Yeah, the avocado is good. I mean, there's a lot of alternatives now for desserts that are dairy free. You know, there's the oat milk ice cream, which is decent. I'm a big fan of oat milk, not so much the ice cream, but okay, not really a good way to transition from oat milk to the NFC, but we will try. All right. Last year's NFC playoff teams were the San Francisco 49ers, the Packers, the Saints, the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Vikings. Connor, I could actually make a case for all six of these teams not making it this year.
Totally. I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I had, I could have picked six all from the NFC is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with, let's start with the team that I would like to pick, but cannot find a basis in reality for doing so. And that's the Saints. And here's why. We just don't know. Drew Brees continually does this. And I think they benefited from the fact, really, that he lost some time in the middle of that season and his arm was stronger down the stretch. I mean, we just don't know what he is right now over the course of a 16-game season. And so, I don't know. I'm sort of tempted to sneak that one in there because I think that would be an interesting pick. But their roster, like we said, if my argument is the Steelers can get in with half an armed Ben Roethlisberger, I think the Saints could probably get him with a half armed Drew Brees too. So the teams that I'm going to pick that are out are the Packers, Vikings, the Eagles, and the 49ers.
Vikings, the Eagles. Oh my gosh, Connor, stop.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm serious. I have this written down also. Minnesota, San Francisco, Philadelphia. This is wacky. Now, I have to say, based on what I said earlier, I mean, the turnover is about half. So I guess we could have just picked six from either conference. We kind of did the 3-3 just to kind of split it up and make sure we were devoting equal time to both conferences. But I guess we could have had an unbalanced thing because it works out that way sometimes, obviously.
True.
But yes, I had the three same teams. Minnesota just had a lot of losses on the defense, which is really what concerned me. And I know Mike Zimmer said he's always had a good defense, and there isn't a reason to doubt that. But it is a lot of players to overcome. And the defense, as we know, carries the team. And they also lost Stefanski. So that to me was kind of an easy pick.
And, you know, what are you going to do without Stefan Diggs? I mean, I know you drafted a wide receiver in the first round, but the team has historically struggled specifically with first round wide receivers getting on the field. You know, it was Laquan Treadwell, it was Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, over time, you know, some of these guys have struggled to get on the field. Now, would you say it's law of averages and this next pick is the guy that's going to make this better, and having Adam Thielen helps? Possibly. But I think that the losses far outweighed the gains in general for them this offseason.
Yeah. And it's, as we've discussed before, it's a difficult year for a rookie receiver to make an impact. And I think we've said this before and stand by it. I think it's going to be difficult for the 49ers to overcome the end to last season. And, you know, it's hard to think of a team that was in the Super Bowl not making the playoffs, but you don't have to, like, look back very far. I mean, obviously the Rams, mm-hmm. they went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Patriots, and then missed the playoffs. So I just think it's a difficult thing to overcome. And, you know, especially because, you know, Shanahan's had a couple difficult Super Bowl losses at this point. So, and especially with the situation with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Like, how confident is he in the team's confidence in him, and how does that affect him this season?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if we would have been standing there, if we would have been standing on the field before the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, and you would have said, this team is not going to make the playoffs next year, we would have all laughed. Now, after that game and then everything snowballing down, I think it became a slightly more realistic possibility. Plus, that division might end up being, I think you could make an argument for the NFC South or the NFC West as being the best division in football this year, the strongest right. division in football this year. So
yeah.
It's going to be a harder road. The Cardinals are just getting better or trendier. I'm not sure what the difference is there, but
not sure either.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they're getting too trendy, by the way. I might release my responsibility because we were on them. Weekside Pod was on them a long time ago, but I think it's ready to. I'm happy with the rise in stock price, and I'm ready to let that kite go. I'm selling
okay.
my Cardinals.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't say the weak side pod. I would say Connor was on top of the Cardinals early on. That was all you. You were a tastemaker in NFL circles. You know, also I've seen a rising surge in popularity based on seemingly not much. I don't know. The Lions seem to be like zooming up popularity boards. And this is odd to me because like what could possibly have happened in August when there aren't preseason games, when there's limited access at practice? Like what could possibly be happening to make the Lions stock shooting up?
My argument there would be we've run out of things to talk about.
Okay.
We've just like not you and I, but it just
well,
as a sports loving world.
A case could be made. I will say that in James's email, he was like, if you need something to talk about. And James, we appreciate you looking out for us because this has become a robust subject in this week's Weekside podcast.
Jenny and I are so out of things to talk about that we have a text chain for a Lifetime reality series. And we just enjoy talking to each other. So, I mean, now that text chain is also populated with other friends.
Yes,
as well,
it's not just us. There's five people.
To generate discussion between good friend, like-minded individuals, you know?
Well, it's very good. It's the highlight of my week. Wednesday's Married at First Sight. If anyone listening to the Weekside Pod would like into our text chain
or
an email group, please let us know. We
yes.
are accepting new members. Okay, so Connor and I, we were again aligned on the NFC teams that would not make it.
This would really creep me out if we nailed the same NFC.
This would super creep me out. Okay, go for it.
Well, we're boxed in on Cowboys.
Yep.
Right, because no Eagles, and I don't think Giants or Washington is going to get there.
Right.
Rams would be my second, and I'm going to get sneaky cute here, and I'm going to throw the Falcons in as my third team and kind of bang the Buccaneers a little bit.
Okay. I almost went with the Falcons, but I stuck with the Cardinals for the third spot. So we aligned on everything except that last one. And I almost wrote down the Falcons. But
so you don't have the Buccaneers making the playoffs either.
I don't, which will actually lead into our next mailbag question. But yeah, I had the Rams, Dallas, and the Cardinals. And I believe our friend James had the same three teams as you, Connor. He had the Cowboys, Rams, and Falcons. Yes. So this was a fun exercise. I enjoyed it. It is. I do enjoy this part of every preseason because we all know the turnover is about 50%. Like, it's been that way for what, 3 decades? But every year you look at it and you're like, oh, well, there won't be that turnover this year. And certainly there are years is when there is less turnover. But it's hard to fathom that a team that was good the year before, good enough to go to the playoffs, would regress. I think that's the hardest part of making preseason picks, because you just don't want to believe that a team will be different this coming season. And so I think it's a fun exercise to kind of force yourself to say, well, if someone had to regress, who would it be?
Yeah, no, it's always good. I'm working on the former colleague Jonathan Jones special, who lovingly allowed me to inherit his predict all 256 game schedule post, which I'm working on for next week or 2 weeks from down the road. And it's the same thing. It's like, well, you know, not everything's the same. Everything is going to be different. Circumstances, schedule, everything. It all gets kind of mixed up into this big blender. So thanks, James, for priming us for this. It's a valuable exercise.
Yes, it definitely is. Okay. We have our next mailbag item from Pete.
I like that.
Listening the other day, or do you want to read it, Connor? I have it in front of me. I can go.
Go ahead. Yes.
I mean, either way. listening the other day, I was amused to hear that Connor was getting angry feedback from new Bucks fans. As a long-standing Bucks fan from the Dungy era, I have been trying to keep my expectations in check, but having struggled through the Bruce Gradkowski era, it's tough not to get overly excited seeing Tom Brady slinging it in training camp videos. My question is, at what point will you view these 2020 Bucks as for real? If they go into New Orleans and win week one, will you reassess?
No.
No. Hard no for me as well.
Yeah, no.
Though that would be an impressive win.
Yeah, and I like the second part of his question, which is, if they make a playoff run this season, will you reevaluate your view on Jason Light? As for the pod, it sounds like you view him as taking steps just to extend his tenure. And that was a great... I remember us talking about that like 6 months ago. So good on you.
Yes.
That was like a really good...
hardcore listener.
Yeah, really good callback on that. But I think that you can end up succeeding as an executive by taking these risks, and you're just taking them all at once, it seems, you know, and you're benefiting from it. I think that a good GM is selectively risky and those moves pay off. Whereas we've seen guys like Les Snead and Jason Light really push all their chips to the center of the table at a moment where they were embattled, and it's paid off. We've seen executives like Jerry Reese of the New York Giants do it, and it hamstrings the team insanely for 2 or 3 years, and they have no cap space, or an ability to compete for 2 or 3 years, you know? So it works both ways. With Jason Light, I mean, I don't think it makes him a bad executive. I think that the fact that they acknowledged the problem and said that Jameis was an issue here and that we don't want him anymore and that we need to upgrade the position is something that all GMs should do. But I do think this is a little bit of a tightrope maneuver, because if you didn't get Tom Brady and basically re-energize the entire franchise this offseason, I think everyone would be talking about, well, what's going to happen here in Tampa Bay? I mean, they're going to have to make some changes soon.
Yeah. Well said, Connor. Great answer. And as for when we might believe that this team
if they're
is 10-0
in what, late November?
Well, I mean, I do think that I think November is an important month because they play the Saints for the second time to start the second half of the schedule. That would be their 9th game. And then they have the Rams and the Chiefs back to back not long after that. Again, this is assuming everything goes as planned with the NFL schedule. So I think that will be a big checkpoint to see where they're at then. A 1 week one win, even though that would be impressive to go into New Orleans and win, I don't think would necessarily say what the season was going to be. I'm also curious if Brady will sustain his play throughout the year. That's always the big question with older quarterbacks. You referenced it earlier with Drew Brees. It's certainly been something that we've watched the last couple seasons with Brady, Connor as well, and the run game in New England was definitely used to kind of supplement his play in their last Super Bowl win. So I think that the true test is really going to come in November and December. And until we get to that point, no matter what we see, yeah, maybe if they're 10-0. But other than that, I think that there's just a lot to be proved in the second half of that schedule.
I just wonder, like, we're all susceptible to this, I guess. But I'm thinking back to, like, even, like, the better teams of my youth. Like, every time this dream team assemblage has taken place, like, it's never gone like exactly how we thought it would go. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the Miami Heat, I guess, was the closest thing to that, but even they lost the first trip to the NBA Finals, right? I think they lost to the Mavericks that first year when they had all the, but they made it to the NBA Finals, I guess. But, you know, all these teams, that there's one team that just continually bangs the drum all offseason saying, look at us, look at all these stars. But then when you start looking at it critically, it's like, okay, how old is LeSean McCoy? Is Rob Gronkowski going to be as effective of a player if he's more of an inline wide receiver and not this blocker hybrid that Belichick had so much success with because he was an excellent blocker? Like, Tom Brady's 43. Like, I just feel like we're not kind of looking at them with that through that critical lens yet, because there's a lot of things that that offense was able to do, you know, and elevate some of the players that they were able to elevate because they had a young arm talent, a guy that can whip the ball down the field with regularity and somewhat carelessness. And I think that that's not really Tom Brady's forte. I think this is going to be a very different looking offense.
Yeah, it's interesting because there is so much excitement around them, and it's kind of like they're out of the up and down roller coaster that the Jameis Winston experience was, right? So there's this like, okay, what, that was such a week by week yo-yoing, right, of emotions, and each game itself could be a yo-yoing. So now they're out of that and they've moved on to the greatest quarterback of all time. But yeah, I think we think back to the Eagles dream team, right? I mean, all of these pieces supposedly coming together, and it's very easy to see how expectations are higher than reality. But we might be wrong, and we will revisit your excellent question, Pete, let's say in November.
Pete, here's a better question. Is my inability to believe in the Bucks my own problem and symptoms of previous disappointments that I've sustained during my life? Perhaps. You know, we all have to look inward here on the Weak Side Pod, too. So you never know. That's all.
Sometimes the Weak Side Pod ends up being a therapy pod.
But only for us. Sorry for everybody else.
No, that was a great question. I mean, really, what does our outlook on things say about ourselves and the things we've experienced in our life that we're carrying with us, Connor?
That's
right.
It's
a good question to ask.
Deep down in my heart, I want everyone to go 8-8. Deep down.
And what does that mean?
What is it? The Rorschach test?
Yeah.
The ink blots? Yeah. What does your interpretation of the NFL schedule say about you as a person?
What does your interpretation of the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers say about your hopes and dreams and general mental state? Lots to unpack on the Weak Side Pod.
As always. Yeah.
As always. Well, thanks again for listening. Thanks for the great questions, James and Pete. Mm-hmm. As always, we love hearing from our readers at weeksidepod@gmail.com. You can write in at any time. You can join our Married at First Sight group chat. Lots of options here, but we're grateful that you listen to us each week, and we'll be back again on Thursday. The MMQB Weekside Pod is me, Jenny Vrentis, and Connor Orr. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Ben Eagle is director of editorial projects and product. Mark Moravik is emeritus executive director of the MMQB. Keep up with our entire lineup of podcasts 5 days a week by subscribing to the MMQB NFL Podcast for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, please do us a favor and leave a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.